This is Victory House.
Hallelujah. All right, tonight, quickly, we are going to talk about what I call let the fire fall. Look at somebody, say, let the fire.
Let the fire.
Say, let the fire.
Fall.
Say it like you mean it. You know when you are calling fire, you don't call it like water. Okay. Let's say it again. Say, let the fire. Say, let it fall. If there is anything that characterizes this present move of God, this our side of eternity, is fire. We are a generation of fire. Because you see, if you look through scripture, you will see that God showed up, the personality of the Trinity, they showed up at different seasons of the scripture. In the beginning, it was as if the major character, even though all of the Trinity personality were there, the major character was God the Father, right? It was God the Father that we saw there. And God the Son was there as the Word. And God the Spirit was there hovering over the sea. We understand that. But majorly we dealt with God the Father in what you could call the Old Testament. Then when you move into the New Testament from Matthew, we see the introduction of God the Son. We see the introduction of Jesus, the Son of the living God, coming in human flesh. In John chapter 1 and number 14, John chapter 1 and number 14, the Bible says, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. So we experience firsthand the ministry of the Son. Then when Jesus was leaving in Acts chapter 1, and especially verse 8, he told them, he said, that you shall receive power, or there will be a manifestation of fire after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Meaning that when the Holy Ghost shows up, it will be the season of fire. It will be the season of power. And the Holy Ghost showed up since that time in the upper room. And since that time, it has been the season of power, for fire. And therefore, tonight, I am declaring in a new way upon your life, in every area of your life, that the fire will fall. Amen. Can somebody say a bigger amen? Let's start this journey tonight by looking at 1 Kings chapter number 18. 1 Kings 18. And we will read from verse 20 to 39. Long read, but it's good. You know, reading the word of God in itself is blessed. Amen? If you just read it without explaining anything, the word by itself is empowered and it is blessed. 1 Kings 18, 20:20. Did I put 24 there? Okay. 20 to 39. Okay, let's start from there. The Bible says, so Ahab sent word throughout all Israel and assembled the prophets on Mount Carmel. Elijah went before the people and said, how long will you waver between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal is God, follow him. But the people said nothing. Then Elijah said to them, I am the only one of the Lord's prophets left, but Baal has 450 prophets. Get two bulls for us. Let the Baal prophet choose one for themselves, and let them cut it into pieces and put it on the wood, but not set fire to it. He says, I will prepare the other bull and put it on the wood, but not set fire to it. Then you call on the name of your God, and I will call on the name of the Lord, the God who answers by fire. He is God. How many people know that that God is still alive? How many people know that that God has not changed? Because sometimes I've had people say something like this. Where is the God of Elijah? He hasn't gone on a vacation. He has not traveled. He has not relocated. The God of Elijah is where he was when Elijah called down fire. And tonight you will see him in that way in the name of Jesus. The God who answers by fire is God. Then all the people said, what you say is good. They didn't know it was a setup. Elijah said to the prophets of Baal, choose one of the bulls and prepare it first. Since there are so many of you, call on the name of your God, but do not light the fire. So they took the bull given them and prepared it. And then they called on the name of Baal from morning till noon. Baal, answer us, they shouted. But there was no response. No one answered because there is no one there. And they danced around the altar that they had made. At noon, Elijah began to taunt them. He began to insult them and mock them. He said, shout louder. He said, surely he is a God, right? Perhaps he is in a deep thought or busy or traveling. Maybe he is even sleeping or must be awakened. So shout as if, you know, you want to wake him up. So they shouted louder, slashed themselves and with swords and spear, as was their custom, until their blood flowed. Midday passed, and they continued their frantic prophesying until the time for the evening sacrifice. But there was no response. No one answered. No one paid attention. Then Elijah said to all the people, come here to me. They came to him, and he repaired the altar of the Lord, which had been turned down. Elijah took 12 stones, one each for the tribes descended from Jacob, to whom the word of the Lord came, to whom the word of the Lord had come, saying, your name shall be Israel. 32. And the stones, with the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord, and he dug a trench around it large enough to hold two seahs of seed. He arranged the wood, cut the bull into pieces, and laid it on the wood. Then he said to them, fill 4 large jars with water and pour it on the offering and on the wood. Do it again, he said, and they did it again. Do it the 3rd time, he ordered, and they did it the 3rd time. Verse 35. The water ran down around the altar and even filled the trench. At the time of sacrifice, the prophet Elijah stepped forward and prayed. And the Lord, he said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known today that you are the God in Israel and that I am your servant and I've done all these things at your command. Answer me, Lord, answer me, so these people will know that you, Lord, are God and that you are turning their hearts back again. Then the fire of the Lord fell and burned up the sacrifice, the wood, the stones, the soil, and also licked up the water in the trench. When all the people saw these, they fell prostrate and cried, the Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God. In September, people that have mocked you, people that have said, where is your God? Situations that have looked at you and have been wondering, this old going to church, what has it done for you? They will come and they will say, the Lord, he is God. In the name of Jesus. God will make you a moving billboard. Have you seen some of those billboards in Lagos. Is Lagos calling some people? Oh God. In Chicago, there are some moving billboards. They just drive around. They go to busy areas where they see a lot of people and they will stay there. They are billboards. They have everything that a billboard has, but they move around. I am telling you, for the remaining part of this year, you will be that moving billboard. When people need to see the goodness of the Lord, they will see you. When you show up, they will say, that's the person we are talking about. The one that God answered our prayer. The one that God delivered. The one that God helped legally. The one that God helped financially. In the name of Jesus. People will be calling you for consultation and they'll be asking you, how did you do it? Please tell me your story. I'm also going through the same thing. But the God that did it for you, he must be a good God. He answers prayer. I want you to pray for me. I want you to believe God with me. Because if he did it for you, I think he can do it for me. I say, this next 3 months that ends this year, is it 3 months? 4 months. That ends this year, there will be months for you to share the goodness of God in the name of Jesus. People will see you and through your life they will say, the Lord is God in the name of Jesus. One of the things you and I need to understand whenever we're reading scripture or dealing with God is that God is not just the author, he's also the finisher. Whatever you see in God, he has technically finished the equation. He has technically finished everything. You know, in Revelation chapter 13 verse 8. Revelation chapter 13 verse 8. Let's read that.
I think I will also. Okay, now we go. All right, scripture says, all the inhabitants of the earth will worship the beast. This is a future thing that will happen. It says, all whose names have not been written in the Lamb's book of life. And that lamb was the lamb that was slain before the creation of the world. So you mean Jesus, who is the Lamb of God, died even before Adam sinned? Yes, sir. Jesus died before Adam sinned. Jesus, the plan of redemption was not made up when man showed up. The plan of redemption happened before even man showed up. And so when the devil is trying to put you under pressure, remind him that God that you deal with is a finished God. It's not a God that just starts. He has finished with me. He has settled my case. So when that thing is looking at you in the face, like you don't know how tomorrow will lead into another day, you don't know where to go from here to there, you don't know how you are going to move from point A to point B, you can remind yourself, you can settle it in your heart that God is a finisher. He has already finished it. He has already finished your blessing. He has already taken care of your future. And everything you see from the word of God, you can take it as done. Anything. It does not matter what your present situation says. It does not matter how it looks like for you. It does not matter how your own circumstances look like. Everything you see from scripture, you can conclude that it is done. If scripture says you are healed, you can conclude that it's done. You can conclude, even though my body does not show it, even though everything, every symptom in my body does not show it, I can conclude that I'm healed because I know this, my God. He won't start what he hasn't finished. He usually will start what he has finished because the Bible tells us, he had killed Christ before he even started creating the world. He knew that man was going to mess up in creation, so he had already killed Christ at the foundation of the world. So before we showed up, the remedy was there. Before you showed up, before the mistake, before the problem, the solution was there. Before Abraham went on that mountain to sacrifice Isaac, the ram too was walking. So it wasn't as if Abraham would get there and God would not say, wait, before this guy go and kills his son, let us help him. No, as Abraham was walking from one side of the mountain, the ram was also walking from the other side of the mountain. So when Abraham got to the top of the mountain, the ram also got there. Because you see, the problem is going to lead you to the solution. That problem in your life, I want to announce to you that as that problem is coming, the solution too is coming. Because God has already finished. God has already concluded. So we deal with a God that has finished. And whenever we are in any situation, we can relax in that. We can rely in that. We can rely on that and know that our God is not just a starter, our God is a finisher. Look at your neighbor, tell them, say, our God is a finisher. So when we say God is a finisher, when we say everything about God seems to be done, so why is it that some things are still undone now? Why? Because of the man equation part. It is man. That's why Jesus told us in Matthew chapter 6, in the prayer, in the model prayer, he said we should ask God and say, let your will be done here on earth as it is in heaven. In heaven, the will is done. It is not going to be done. The will is already done. The will is complete. The will is finished. The will is perfect. But here on earth, you have to enforce it. You have to bring it in. You have to make it happen. And so when we're talking about the fire, for example, the fire of God already has come down. We don't pray down, let the fire come. Fire is already down. But you see, when we are, we're talking tonight, we are just connecting to that fire and releasing that fire into our life. And that fire will find expression in your life and my life in the name of Jesus. So the missing equation is always on earth here is man. So it's man that needs to cooperate. So when we say let the fire fall, you see, the big emphasis is on that let. It is not on the fire. The fire will fall. If something will not hinder that fire, the fire will operate. The fire will find expression. Because as far as God is concerned, God is ready. As far as God is concerned, God has concluded. As far as God is concerned, God has finished. And I know that somebody will experience the fullness of the finished work of Christ in the name of Jesus. Now, when we talk about fire, what are we talking about? Fire simply is a type of the Holy Spirit. Fire, the Holy Spirit is usually represented in scripture in several ways. Sometimes you see him represented as a dove. He's not a dove. Sometimes you see him represented as
as fire. It's not fire. But these are just manifestations. These are just types. These are just things that convey the essence of the Holy Spirit. The Bible says in Acts chapter 2, if you read from verse 1 to 4, the Bible says, the Bible says that when the apostles were gathered together in one accord in the upper room, the Bible says, cloven tongues as of fire sat upon each one of them. Cloven tongues as of fire. So the fire of God can sit upon somebody. The fire of God can come on a life and it will sit upon that life. Do you know what it will look like when the fire of God is sitting upon a life? That person is supercharged. That person is on another level. There is no high that is greater than that high, because this high is the high from the Most High. So you are high at the highest. Amen. So when the fire of God is fully operational in a man, you find the person operating beyond their natural limits. And that fire of tongue is the move and the expression of the Holy Spirit, as we see in Acts chapter 2 and from verse 1 to 4. Even in Luke chapter 3 and verse 11, John answered them and said, I baptize you with water, but one who is more powerful than I will come, the straps of whose sandal I am not worthy to untie. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Or he will baptize you in the Holy Spirit and there will be expression of fire. Everything that is cold, everything that is dead will come alive because of revival fire in the name of Jesus. If you are still alive and you can hear my voice, I want you to turn this into prayer and say, Father, I receive fresh baptism of fire in the name of Jesus. Say it out loud. Make it your prayer. I receive fresh baptism of fire in the name of Jesus. As I move into September, I receive a fresh baptism of fire in the name of Jesus. Leprosh kapataya. Rile potosokotoya. In the name of the Lord. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' precious name we are praying. So fire is a type of the Holy Spirit. It represents the Holy Spirit. So when we are saying let the fire fall, let the Holy Spirit find expression. Because when the Holy Spirit moves you, big things happen. If you read Acts chapter 2, before Acts chapter 2, everybody that was in that upper room, they were very timid people. They were people that were scared. They were people that were afraid. They were people that could not stand before just one simple made girl and confess Jesus and say Jesus is Lord. But when that fire came, the Bible said Peter came out. This was not even, they didn't ask Peter any question. People were just wondering, and Peter answered them and he began to speak to them. At the end of that conversation, there were about 3,000 people that were joined to the church just because the fire came. I see somebody expressing and the fire of God in this new month in the name of Jesus. So why do we want the fire of God to find expression? Number one, because fire purifies. Fire purifies. There are impurities. Some sin, some just any activity of the devil. You know, the devil sometimes in scripture is called unclean spirit, right? Because it's unclean spirit. It contaminates anything that is of God. So whenever it finds expression, it is unclean. So when fire comes, fire purifies. Fire purifies. In Malachi chapter 3 and verse 2. Malachi chapter 3 and verse 2. The Bible says, who can endure the day of his coming? And who can stand when he appears? He says, for he will be like a refiner's fire, like a launderer's soap. So the Spirit of God will be like a refiner's fire. It will be like the fire that you use to refine gold. You see, precious metals, they are passed through fire so that you will remove impurities, so that you will remove dirt. I'm decreeing over you as you move into September, every impurity, whatever God didn't start, whatever God didn't plant, whatever is unclean in your life, around your life, I declare the fire of the Holy Ghost will consume them in the name of Jesus. I want you to pray by yourself where you are seated, putting your hand on your head, and you are going to speak, because you also carry this fire. You stoke the fire. You awake the fire. And you are going to say loud and clear, say, Father, everything God has not planted in me be destroyed by the power and the fire of the Holy Ghost In the name of Jesus, will you turn it to your prayer? Everything you didn't plant in me, you didn't plant in my home, you didn't plant in this church, you didn't plant in my life. La peko sapataya. Ishe, who did this? You see, an enemy did it. Matoto pedika parika perusetaira. Everything that was not planted by heaven, la poskoteya baya. We destroy tonight by the fire of the Holy Ghost. Le pradadusha, male paruske te periando ilara baroto tobre. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name, we are praying. So fire purifies. Fire separates. You see, the process of purification is also to separate. You remove what is not supposed to be part of something. You remove it from it. There are some of us that are carrying baggages. We are carrying things from last year. We are carrying things from many years ago. We are carrying things from our forefathers. We are carrying things that we don't know. And they are putting pressure on us. The thing is not making us to run the race God has set before us. But by the fire of God tonight, those things will be separated from you. In the name of Jesus. Everything that is on you, everything that is around you, that you are carrying that is not supposed to be carried, I declare that the fire of God separates it in the name of Jesus. So let the fire fall. So we read from that First Kings chapter 18 and from verse 20, and we see a classic example of how the fire of God can fall. I mean, if you read through scripture, every time the fire of God fell, it kind of followed the same pattern. It kind of followed the same pattern. And in a few minutes, I'll just walk you through that scripture. And then we'll pray, share the communion, declare some God's word over our life, and we'll be ready for September. How many people know that September will be their best month? If you know it, say it loud and say it convincingly. Say, September will be my best month in the name of Jesus. So in verse 21, we see Elijah making this conversation. And he was asking a question, which I want to also ask you. Because sometimes people have always wondered, why is it that I've come to church, I have done the things of God, I have followed this God, it's not working. It's like these pastors, they are just making it up. Why is it happening like that? And Elijah asked a question. And that's the question I wanted to ask you as we begin to look at September, as we go into this new month. See, Elijah went before the people and he says, how long will you waver between two opinions? What was Elijah saying? Elijah was saying, many people have one leg in God, one leg in another thing. One leg, I believe God. One leg, I want to work it out for myself. One leg, I am waiting for Isaac. One leg, I am going to do something and I'm going to make Ishmael come. But you see, God, Isaac and Ishmael, they cannot dwell in the same house. And so many people, with their own hand, they will pray in church and leave church and spoil the prayer. So Elijah was asking the question, and because he had to ask this question, because these are things that you need to understand, that you need to deal with, that you need to process before you allow the fire to find expression. Elijah said, how long will you waver between two opinions? How long will you waver between opinions? How long will you be following God halfway? I am asking you, ladies and gentlemen, don't follow God 50%. Don't even do 75%. Oh, I know 80% is pass mark in some places, but with God it's 100%. It's 100% or nothing. He wants everything. He wants the whole you. He wants all of you. He wants everything. That's why he said, seek ye first the kingdom of God. Go ahead, let everything be on God. I know some of you have heard that statement. Don't put your eggs in one basket. When it comes to God, he wants you to put all your eggs in one basket. Because if you put all your eggs in one basket and that basket is in the hand of God, that basket is safe in the name of Jesus. So I've come to challenge somebody. Stop trying to help God. Stop trying to do it yourself. If you want God to help you, let him help you completely. Don't say, God help me, and then you have plan B, you have plan C, you have plan D. Because that's what people do. Sometimes when they come to church, they will say, God, pastor, pray for me. And the pastor pray. But pastor is praying for plan A, but they have plan B and plan C. And they are running plan B and plan C concurrently. See,
the hand of God doesn't get revealed until God is all that you have. Because you see, when you make God all that you have or all that you want, you will soon find out that God is all that you need. I've come to tell somebody, don't waver as you go into September. Stay with God. You can stay with him. I've been around for a little while and I can tell you it doesn't fail. He's too faithful to fail. You are not the first person that will follow him. There are thousands of people that have followed him and they have not inherited shame. You will not inherit shame. Glory is your portion in the name of Jesus.
So to see God in action, it must be 100%. You must be for him completely. Completely. Relax. Give yourself completely to him. You know, the other day I was reading the book of Exodus. The book of Exodus. When Moses was talking to Pharaoh. And Moses told Pharaoh. And said, God of the Hebrews. He said, I should tell you. Let my people go. And you know, one of the things that Pharaoh said that baffled me. And I thought about it for a little bit. Pharaoh said, he kept changing the parameters. But one time he now said, you know what? Okay, you guys can go. Just leave the children. And really, that is what the devil always do. He's always negotiating for less than 100%. He knows that with God, God wants everything. God wants 100%. Him, if you give him 1%, it's okay. That's why the Bible says, do not give the devil, we are not on... unmindful of the devil's antics or mindful of the devil's way, because when you give him a foothold, he knows that foothold can become a stronghold. So he doesn't mind you giving him just a little bit, just a little bit. That's why the devil likes white lie. He likes every color of lie, because some people will convince themselves that it's not completely a lie. At least there's some truth there. But a lie is a lie. Amen. A lie is a lie. The truth is the truth. If the truth is not colored, it's plain. It's like water. There's water does not have color. So when the truth starts having color, know that we're beginning to get into the lie. And the devil likes that. He likes people that are like that. People that will mix and match. People that will stand with God today and they don't mind standing with the devil the other day. They don't mind standing with a popular opinion. They don't mind standing with anything less than what God wants. But I pray for somebody listening to me tonight that in the name of Jesus, you receive the courage to stand. To stand for God. In the name of Jesus. You receive the courage to say, if God will not show up for me, then let nothing happen for me. Can you say that? Say, it is God all the way. That's it. That's how God shows up. God shows up for people who make him their only option. Who have said, look, I don't have to. Because sometimes some people will say, God, I want you to show up. But then they are cracking in their brain. Okay, if God doesn't show up, you know the date is, tomorrow is the date. I know. But the way God shows up is when you don't have any hope. When you don't have anything, that's the best. In fact, that's when he comes through, because he knows that when he does that one, he will take the glory. But when you have shared all the options with so many things, when God even shows up in that particular instance, he will not be the one to share the glory, because there are so many competing options. So Elijah told them, don't stand between two options. Don't stand between serving God and serving any other thing. Just go all the way with God. Because when you go all the way with God, God will fight for you in the name of Jesus. All right. So let me move on. I'll go to verse 25. In verse 25, we see something very interesting here. When Elijah began to now say, okay, you know what? We're going to get this fire down. When we have taken it, when we have settled the issue of whether if you want to follow God, follow God. If you don't want to follow God, don't follow God. You know, if you want to be on the devil's side, be 100% for the devil. If you want to be for God, be 100% for God. Then he now came here. And then Elijah told the prophets of Baal, he told them to take sacrifice, to take bulls. But he now mentioned something. He said, prepare it first. So this is the first thing you and I need to understand about when the fire falls or allowing the fire to fall. Every falling of the fire or every expression of the fire is an answer to preparation.
is an answer to preparation. He said, prepare it first. Many times people want fire to fall, but they are not prepared for the fire to fall. There's nothing on the ground to show that they are expecting the fire to fall. Another word for preparation in our world can be expectation. If you want the fire of God to fall, if you want to see God show up, be expectant, sir. Be expectant, ma. If you are going to the month of September, don't just walk like you walked into September, like you walk into August, when you didn't have anything that you were expecting. You were not believing God for anything. You were not expecting anything. You were not showing up in places that showed that you were expecting something. You are not preparing for something. It is preparation, sir. The more you prepare, when you are prepared, it will happen. Because you see, preparation is the precursor of manifestation. If there is preparation, if there is expectation, manifestation is inevitable. If you prepare it, if you make it ready, if you make it conducive, the fire will fall. The fire will fall. The fire will fall. I've heard this statement. I don't know who said it. He said, when the student is ready, the teacher will show up. I don't know where I heard it from, but I think it's a popular statement, right? Have you guys heard it before? You have not heard it before. You need to be hearing it. Just kidding. You see, the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20. Ephesians 3 and verse 20. You see, God will do exceedingly, abundantly, above all you can ever ask or think. So there is some level of thinking. There is some level of expectation. But God will now surpass the expectation. So ladies and gentlemen, as you are going into September, be expectant. Be prepared. When you show up to church on Sunday, come prayed up. Come ready to receive. Come ready. No, but no matter who holds the mic, I will be blessed. Even if they sing A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I will be blessed. Can somebody say amen to that? Oh, yeah. So, sometimes I go to some churches and I tell myself, if they like, let them just be saying, bah, 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 bah. I will be blessed in this place. Because you see, being blessed by God is really not dependent on others. Many people think it is dependent on others. They think when we come to a service like this, it's about somebody helping me. No, it is you. It is like we come into a well. You take as much as you can. When you go to the ocean, what you take away from the ocean is not because of the size of the ocean. It's because of the size of your own container. So when you come with a large container. Come ready to receive. Come ready to take. Come ready to be blessed. Look at your neighbor. Say, in September, I will come ready. In the name of Jesus. So always live ready. Always live expectant. Always live. I was reading a book the other day, and the guy said every morning he tells himself, I'm expecting something good to happen today. I'm looking for something good. You know, there's a way you can position your life where you're always expecting something good. Somebody calls you, say, yes, 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 yes. How are you doing? And they are wondering, was he expecting a call? Yes, he was expecting a call. He's expecting a good news. You go to the mailbox sometimes, you look at the mailbox, you check the mails as if somebody told you they are going to send you a check. And you know what happens? When you live like that, your expectation will be met. Your expectation will be met. If you live like that, expecting that good will come, your expectation will be met. In fact, some people, they do the reverse. They expect that evil will come. There are some people, have you heard this before? Some people say, let all the family members not travel in one car. Because in case, well, I mean, the statement may sound very responsible. Like the person is, they are sounding like we are trying to be, but it's fear. It is fear. It is saying that we expect that one evil will happen. At least when the evil happens, let me be not the whole family. That's what that kind of statement means. And some people, when they are going to work, when they see their boss come out from another colleague's office, they are like, is he holding a pink slip? And then they say, they get an email saying they shared a calendar meeting, a meeting with them. And they said there's a meeting for something review. They didn't even read the first part. They just saw review. They say, it's happening, it's happening, it's happening, it's happening, it's happening. There are people that live like that. Live under the fear of bad thing that will happen. But that's not the best way to live. Because you are preparing the ground for another thing to fall. When you prepare the ground for good things to happen, fire will fall. Look at your neighbor, say, get ready, get ready, get ready, get ready.
September will be a good month for you. In the name of Jesus. Now in verse 26, there's something I'd like to point out there. I just wanted to say that. Because I'm going to even be talking about prayer in the month of September. Prevailing prayer. In the month of September, we will pray. Amen. And God will answer. Amen. And so we are laying the groundwork here. But let me say this about prayer. In verse 26, the Bible says there was no response. And they chanted and danced around the altar and all of that. Do you know it is not, prayer is not a, it's not about activity. It is about content and to whom you are addressing your prayer. You can pray from now till tomorrow and pray nonsense. I won't talk about prayer too much, but I just wanted to put that in. Even children of God, because prayer is largely about content. Prayer has you, if you are not saying the right thing and just opening your mouth, and then after you have opened your mouth, move it up and down, then put Jesus at the end of the day, it doesn't mean that God will just put a rubber stamp to it. Because the way some people look at prayer is that once you pray, let's begin to pray. Okay, about what, sir? In fact, can I say this? Until prayer becomes specific many times, the answer will not come. There are many vague prayers that people pray. Many just random prayers. I don't have problem with praying for the whole world, but I want to pray for Chicago, right? I want to pray for a street. I don't have problem praying for all the men in the world. But what does that mean? What about, I am praying for Diolu, I am praying for Johnson. I think that's a little more specific. So when we talk about prayer, content is very important. I'm sure some of you know that I like volume in prayer. I like people to pray loud and shout and, you know, express themselves. Say amen loud. I like it. Sweat. But you know, it's not even about the volume. Because you can shout and shout and shout and shout. Lose your voice. I remember back in the days. I will lose my voice. Every Sunday, I will lose my voice. I think my voice has gotten used to it. Maybe I will soon be losing it again. Let's see what happens in September. But I will lose my voice. But it's not about losing voice or not losing voice. The content of prayer and the person you are addressing that prayer to, it matters a lot. It matters a lot. So that's just free of charge. I just threw that in. It's not part of the requirements tonight. Amen. So when the fire falls, or how does the fire fall? What do we do? What are the things that we said? We prepare. Preparation. Number one, preparation. In verse 30, how does the fire fall? We repair. We repair. Verse 30. Let's look at verse 30. The Bible says, then Elijah said to all the people, come here to me. And they came to him, and he repaired the altar of the Lord. When we talk about fire falling, many times we need to do some repairs. We need to repair relationships. Because you see, when you are praying to God, it is not just a matter of the content. The relationship is also is very important there. The relationship matter is very, very important there. Because when you are praying to God, you are not just addressing him as God of the universe. You are addressing him as a father. And that's why Jesus, when he was teaching them the model prayer, he said, when you are praying, he said, our Father who is in heaven. I want you to understand that the efficacy of prayer is based on relationship. That was what Jesus was saying. He said, look, the efficacy of your prayer is based on relationship. And that's why if the relationship is strained, if fellowship has been broken, oftentimes there needs to be repair. So when we are talking about the fire falling, there needs to be preparation and there needs to be repair. We need to check the conditions of our heart. Whenever you're coming to God, understand that what you are saying with your mouth is important, but what is in your heart is also important. Because the Bible said, Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20, God is able to do exceedingly abundantly far above that which we can ask or think. Proverbs 23:7, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. So what is that? What does that mean? It means that sometimes when we open our mouths to pray and we pray, God sometimes also prints our heart request, our heart disposition, where our heart is at that time, and he adds it to our request. And sometimes our heart request, our heart is negating our mouth. So we need repairs.
repairs. We need to check the condition of our heart. That's why Jesus said, when you come into the place of prayer and you have hurt against another and you have something somebody has done to you, you know what Jesus said? Jesus said, leave that thing that you have come to give God and go and settle with your brother. Don't come. In fact, in the mother prayer that Jesus taught us in Matthew chapter 6, Jesus said, when you are asking God, forgive us our sins, because usually when people pray, they say, oh, Lord, forgive me my sin, you know. But Jesus said this, when you're asking God, forgive us our sin, forgive others too, because forgiving your sin is predicate on you forgiving others. It's on you freeing others. You are saying, God, have mercy on me. You to have mercy on other people. You to give them leeway. You to forgive them. Give them grace. That thing that they have done, it's okay. I put it on the account of God. It's okay. I'll forget about it. I'll forgive you for that. That's what God is saying. And so when we're talking about fire falling, there needs to be preparation. Preparation is expectation. And there needs to be repair. Repair is making sure the state of your heart is ready to receive. We need to repair. And we need to repair the content of our word. In verse 31. We need to repair the content of our word. Verse 31. The Bible said he took 12 stones. And these stones were supposed to represent the tribes of Israel whom the word of the Lord came to. So the repair was the repair of the content of their mouth. Of the content of the word. So because you see, he said the word of God came to those people that he was using to represent. So that stone was representing correction by the word. So when we come into the place of prayer, when we are expecting fire to fall, we need to understand that we correct the situation not by the situation, we correct the situation by the word. So the repair we are doing, we are repairing our heart, opening our heart to the word of God, and align the word of God to repair our heart. And whatever the word of God says is not what we can now say out, because that is what will make the fire fall. So we need to repair the content of our words to align with his own word. We need to repair the content. We need to let the content of our heart to align with the content of the word of God. In verse 32, the Bible says the altar of God was also built. He said he took these stones, and what he did with this stone was that he used it to build altars. In the name of Jesus, the Son of the living God, in September, you will build altars. You have some altars in your life that will be answering in the name of Jesus. Now, an altar is a place of connection. It's a place where you can make sacrifices. It's a place where you can make connections. And every one of us, we need to have altars. As a church, I'm sure we have an altar. That's when not even physical altar now. I'm talking of spiritual altar. We pray. But you see, much more than that, you as a child of God, you need altars. You need altars. And one of the altars is the altar of prayer. And I'm praying that in the name of Jesus, in September, that altar will be repaired. Amen. That altar will be built. Amen. In the name of Jesus. Because if you look at the ministry of Jesus, Jesus never did a lot of congregational praying. Have you noticed that? Every time Jesus prayed in the public, it was less than 3 minutes. He was a very short prayer person outside. Most of his prayer was done alone, not even with the disciples. Mark chapter 1 and verse 35. The Bible says a great while before day, he woke up. And there was one time he took the disciples, three of them, and took them to, you know, Mount of Transfiguration. And, you know, just for 1 hour, these guys were sleeping. And Jesus said, you see, that's why I don't take you guys out. You will disturb me. You know, but you have been saying, Master, we like what you are doing. Let us follow you. Now you followed me. 1 hour, just 1 hour, you have slept. You know. But so Jesus, the ministry of Jesus was powered by an altar of prayer. And it was an altar of prayer that was individual to him. So I celebrate congregational prayer. I celebrate things that are happening in plenty. But there is something about you and I having individual altars. And this month, the fire of God will fall on your individual altar. And it will come alive in the name of Jesus. Now understand that our prayer altars are built on the word. Whenever you are praying, whether on your own or anywhere else, make sure there is a word foundation for what you are praying about. God does not just answer prayers. God answers his own prayers. God answers his own word. God is, when you say God is righteous, when you say God is just, God is righteous means that God will follow the rules. God will follow the terms. God will follow the things that he has laid down. So if God says, call unto me and I will answer you, he will answer you because he has said he will answer you. If God said, Philippians 4 verse 19, the Bible says, my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory. If you make that demand and say that, you may say it not necessarily in the same word that was used in scripture, but with the same idea, God answers that. But if you now make up your own prayer, because people pray all kinds of things, all kinds of things, all kinds of things. Somebody say, God, I want to marry another person. Give me that woman. You know that's not the intention of God. That's not the word of God. God is not going to give you that. But I just threw that outlandish example there. But there are so many other things that people ask God. Oh, my neighbor has a car. God, that's my neighbor's car. Exactly that one. Take it and give me. I know it sounds funny, but there are things like that going on. People say things like that. So our prayer, the altar of God, needs to be built on the word. Look at your neighbor. Say, the altar of God needs to be built on the word. In verse 33, we see again, the Bible said he poured water on this altar. He poured water on this altar. In Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 26, Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 26, the Bible says that he might sanctify her by the washing of water with the word, or that he will clean her using the word of the water, the water of the word, meaning that the word of God is also water. So if you see in this whole fire experience, there's a lot of the word of God going on there. The repairs is happening majorly with the word of God. And this is not strange. The word of God is major, probably one of the highest instrument of our warfare. In the weapons of warfare that we read in Ephesians 6, the Bible was talking about the fact that we have breastplate of righteousness, sword of the spirit. If you look at all that list, you will see that the word of God can be identified at least two times. Why? Because the word of God is a big deal. The word of God is not just any word. The word of God is God. If you want to get God to move, get his word. If you want God to show up in a situation, get his word. God shows up by his word. You can sit in your house and you can lay the word of God on yourself. You know, some people look for people to lay hands on them. You can lay the word of God on yourself. Some people look for deliverance. You can deliver yourself by the word. Because the word of God inherent in itself has power to make things happen. So when we're talking about the fire falling, we repair by the word. So the first thing is preparation. The second thing is repair. And then the third is now making the request. We make the request. In verse 35. In verse 35, the Bible says, he now asks God, let fire fall. When we have prepared, when we are expectant, when we have repaired by the word, when we have word from the God, when we have word of God, when we are going to speak the word of God, we are ready to make our request. So preparation leads to reparation, if there's any word like reparation, or leads to repair, and then it goes to requestation, if there's any word like requestation, but it leads to request in the name of Jesus. So you are now ready to request. You are ready to ask because you are prepared. Because you have prepared, then you can request. I see God doing miracles. Oh, I thought the people were here. I see God doing miracles in the month of September in the name of Jesus. So you make your request known to God. That's how fire fall. That's how you engage the spirit. You make your request known because there's an expectation from the heart. There is a repair based on the word. The word is engaged. And then you speak. You make your request known to God. You don't keep quiet at expectation. You don't stay at just repairs. But you turn your the words that you get from that repair, you turn it into a request and you make it known unto God, and you will see the God of grace, the God that answered by fire, that God will show up for you in the name of Jesus. I want you to say loud and clear while as you're standing up and we're closing tonight. Leprosita.
You are going to say, let the fire of God fall upon me afresh. Let it destroy everything that God has not planted. Let it put me in a new level for this month of September. In the name of Jesus. Can that be your prayer this evening? Come on, go ahead. Let the fire fall on me afresh. In the name of Jesus. Position me for the fullness of what God has for me. Let it be, O God. Glorify your name. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, what a good God. In Jesus' precious name, we are praying. Amen. We're about to close the service, but we are going to also take communion before we give our offering. Still standing. There is a connection, I said before, or the fire that we are talking about is ministry of the Holy Spirit. And you see, the ministry of the Holy Spirit, the Bible says to us in 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and 14, 2 Corinthians 13 and 14, it says, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship, and the communion, and the sharing together of the Spirit be with you all. So there is to be a participation and sharing with the Spirit. If there is any partnership and participation that you can do in our world today, it's to follow this ordinance that Jesus himself instituted. It's not just a meal. It is not just an ordinary meal. It is a meal that Jesus himself instituted, and it is a meal that sets you off. I believe that when we eat this meal, we will have wings beneath our back for the month of September in the name of Jesus.